This is a deadly serious matter.
If then-Cambridge Mayor Alfred Vallucci had his way back in 1976, we might never have mapped the human genome.
I have made references to Frankenstein over the past week. That was my way of describing what happens when genes are put together in a new way.
They were meeting to decide whether the city of Cambridge should ban recombinant DNA research for a 3-year period.
Do scientists ever exercise poor judgment? Do they ever have accidents? Question.
But as MIT's David Page, director of the Whitehead Institute, explains, the ban was battled back, and a transformation began.
As we sit here in my office at Whitehead Institute on the edge of the MIT campus, within a mile radius of us are 150 biotech and biopharmaceutical companies, all based on recombinant DNA research.
In the late 1980s, various fields of biology began to coalesce around a powerful idea, a project as ambitious as putting a man on the moon.
Let's make sense in toto of our DNA, of our hereditary information.
Officially launched in 1990, it became known as the Human Genome Project.
Actually, the term genome was coined at that time. We didn't have that word before. And it was a way of saying, let's think about the whole. Let's think about it systematically. Let's think about it comprehensively.
It was to be a blueprint of our genetic makeup and would take a vast and coordinated effort by scientists from around the world to pull it off. Cambridge, by then chock full of brilliant DNA researchers like Page and centers like the Whitehead Institute, became the nucleus for this audacious task.
Whitehead Institute became the flagship of the publicly funded consortium to sequence the human genome. And so the biggest share of the sequencing the human genome was actually conducted right here at Whitehead Institute.
The scope of the job was enormous. Figure out the sequence of DNA that makes up each of our genes, which determines everything from what color your eyes are to whether you'll be susceptible to sickle cell anemia.
In each of our cells, we have about 3 billion letters of DNA. And we've got only 4 letters in the alphabet of DNA. It's A, C, G, and T.
Scientists had spent decades learning how to read just those 4 letters. Now they would put them billions of times, all in the correct order, in a single book.
And so basically sequencing the DNA is saying to somebody who already knows how to read, deliver to me the text.
On April 14th, 2003, 2 years ahead of schedule, scientists claimed victory. The Human Genome Project had succeeded, and the textbook of our genetic makeup was complete. Now, Page points out that we still have a ways to go before we know how to interpret all of this data, and there still are genetic mysteries left to solve.
There are actually big parts, believe it or not, it's a little secret, parts of the book that are still so hard to read, where we don't know the grammar, and frankly, we don't even know how to assemble the text.
But what we do have is truly a basic blueprint of human life, now available to every scientist, every doctor, every student. Page says it has so fundamentally transformed the field of biology that it's impossible to overstate its importance.
It's almost as powerful as knowing the anatomy of the human body. All of biology, all of human biology, all of medicine is now in some sense organized around the understanding, the roadmap that's provided by the availability of the sequence of the human genome.
The human genome, declared sequence thanks in large part to the big brains in the city of Cambridge 12 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.